This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. And we greet and welcome all of you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we co-pastor a church here in Stuart, as we have mentioned many times, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, out of Revelation 19:10. So I hope you can
worship God.
And worship God.
For the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy.
Right. So we're honored to be here with you again.
Amen.
So, my beautiful wife's home from the hospital. I mentioned last week she was in the hospital again, but she came home on Thursday. And so I believe she's going to get stronger and be in good health with the things that God's wanting her to do. So, she's here with me, so we're going to release that, her anointing, and she might have some announcements to make of anything's coming up. We kind of lost some track of time here these past few weeks.
Well, I was in the hospital for how many days?
24 days, I think, altogether.
26. I have to count. 26 yeah. days. Went in on our anniversary, which was July the 8th, our wedding anniversary. In 10 days, out for a couple days, in for another 7 days, out for a couple days, in for another 7 full days, almost 8. And that's enough for me, for the hospital. Never been in a hospital before in my whole life, except to have 2 children. Never been on any medication in my whole life, except for maybe a Tylenol, or, you know. So when you have to start these things, you have to trust in the Lord. And if you're not used to it, you know, many people have had that, never been on anything like that. You know, trusting the Lord and God's been good. I've been healed many times. I've been healed of lots of things. And so I'm believing that God is doing a total healing and restoration in my body, in my life, and in my husband's body, in his life, that we continue to do what God has called us to do. I don't believe He's called us to give up or quit. God doesn't make quitters. Look at Moses. Did Moses quit? No. Did Joshua quit? No. Did Caleb quit? No. There's many people that are alive right now that are in their 90s, and they haven't quit. So keep us in prayer, because, you know, the enemy would want us to quit. That's for sure. He would want us to quit. We've been on this radio broadcast for 25 years, is it, honey?
20 years.
Well, 20 years.
20 years plus.
And Spirit of Prophecy Ministries has been in Stuart, Florida for
25 years.
25 years. So I want to mention,
it will be January, yeah.
In January. And in January, we'll be moving to a new building. So, you know, praise the Lord, brand new building. It's going to be all beautiful. So that's going to be right on US 1 and Indian Street. So come visit us. We do have services every Friday night at 7 p.m. And we also have Sunday morning service at 11 a.m. And we usually have a fellowship, meal afterwards. Talk about the things of the Lord. You know, talk about the goodness of God and the things of God. You know, not our situations, our problems, because, you know, God knows all those things. And what good does it do to complain and talk about those things? God wants us to move on, and we're not to meditate on those things, but we're to go on and do what God's called us to do. Well, that's what Moses had to do. he complained quite a bit, but, you know, he had a lot of people, didn't he? Oh, boy, did he ever.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'd love to have you come visit us or give us a phone call. If you'd like a copy of this CD, or you can also even go back and listen to it again on WCNO, because they are on the internet, and all of our teachings and their whole 24 hours program guide is on 24/7 on the internet. So what a blessing that is. Amen. So I want to give you our phone number here in Stuart, Florida. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And while I've been away, I usually teach the Torah on Friday nights, because we do a Torah study, which is very important. And some people will say, what is the Torah? Is that the whole Bible? No, it's not the whole Bible. It's the first five books of the Bible, which had Moses wrote that, didn't he? Moses, through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, gave all the, what do you call it, the instructions, Pastor Gene, and the teaching and the instructions.
All the commandments, everything.
And the law, and everybody says the law is not good, the law is bad, but
it's
the law...
It's been done away with, yeah.
But the law hasn't, it is good, because it says, and Paul said the law was good, and
right.
It's to teach us. So the Torah, which is the law, is for our teaching and our instructions, so we will know how to live a godly and a holy life.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
So our blessed sister Margie has been teaching, and she's been doing an awesome job in the Torah teaching. And so I just felt led to go back to one of the lessons that we had that she's probably going to be teaching on tonight, or this past Friday night, rather. And we may even talk about it on Sunday, because things are relevant, you know, that are, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Things repeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things repeat. And so Paul repeats a lot of the things that are mentioned in the Torah, and so do a lot of the other the apostles and the teachers of the Word of God.
That's right.
So I just kind of want, do you have something you want to say, sweetheart?
I just want to mention about Margie Swaney, you know, when your problem came on September 8th, and you were put in the hospital and all things that happened, and she just stepped up to the plate like she was going to hit a home run. And she had a word a good while ago that she was going to be a teacher.
She is a teacher.
She is a teacher, we know that, and she's moved into that realm.
Anointed teacher.
And every week, you can just see the anointing going up, and she's more, what I call it, more at peace when she does it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trusting the Lord, and she's learned a lot, and so I just thank God that she's going to continue to do that. And we're back home. That doesn't mean she's going to stop doing things, because she's going to continue on, right?
And the Bible says that we're priests and kings, right?
That's right.
And so she has that priestly anointing, I believe, on her. And, you know, we've gone through the Torah, and people say, well, you go through it every year? Yeah, the Jewish people read the Torah every year from the beginning of the year, which we're coming up on that time around.
They'll be starting over, same
thing. They'll tell them it, right? Start over again, and they read the whole Bible, and it's all divided up into certain sections, so maybe
mm-hmm.
five chapters or six chapters each week.
Yeah.
And we learn, you know, and each time, we've done this four or five times, and each time we learn more and more and more, because the Word of God does not change. It's truth for us, and we need to hearken, we need to listen, we need to shema. We need to know about the Jewish roots, we need to know about the Hebrew language. We can learn the Hebrew alphabet. It's only 22 letters. And we can learn that the Hebrew alphabet is the only alphabet that has three dimensions. And actually, I know it has more than three dimensions,
mm-hmm.
but we can prove it has three dimensions.
Hallelujah.
We can prove it. It's, you know, it stands for a number. Our alphabet doesn't stand for a number. A doesn't stand for one, and B for two. No, but the Hebrew alphabet all stands for numbers, and every single number is a prophetic number that means something, just like 40 means water.
Yeah.
Wow, well, think about the flood. Think about
mm-hmm.
the 40 days Jesus went out in the wilderness. Every single number, the very first number, stands for God, and it also represents an ox, and he's strong. An ox is strong.
Yeah.
You know, and the second letter stands for the house. And who's in the house? Jesus is in our house. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua, Jesus, needs to be in our house. We are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus said he was going to go back to the Father, and he would send us the Holy Ghost, right?
Him and his Father, yeah.
Him and his Father, and the Holy Ghost teaches us, right? and brings things to our remembrance and all these things. So, you know, it's the Torah is so awesome. So it's a letter, it spells words, it has meanings. Every single stroke has a meaning. And every single letter sometimes is made up of different strokes. Like the very first letter, the Hebrew alphabet, Pastor Gene. It's made up of two yods, which is a number 10, and one vav, which is a number 6. Well, the number 10 is the strong hand of God. Well, his outreached arm and hand. How many times is that talked about in the Bible? And so there's one at the top and there's one at the bottom. Well, you know, who is he reaching out to? He's reaching out to us here on earth, that we would join with him. And how does he reach out? He reaches out through the vav, which is a slanted letter, which is number 6, which is the number of man. And what did Jesus do? He joined that gap, that we could be joined back to the power and the anointing that comes from the Father. See, if that vav was missing, there would be no connection.
Right.
But these two little tiny yods, that's the smallest Hebrew letter in the alphabet, represents the power of God, the strong arm of God, outstretched arm of God. How many times is that mentioned in the book, in Psalms, in many places in the Bible? We need to reach out and join up with him, and the only way we can do that is by Jesus, is through Jesus, is through his blood, is through his sacrifice. He came here for one reason, to give his life that we might be connected, reconnected. He became what? The second Adam.
Yep.
You teach that many
times.
He is
the second Adam, yeah.
He's the second Adam. So, you know, Adam and Eve, they missed it. They broke their connection with God.
Right.
They never had the same connection with God that they had in the garden. They were sent out of the garden. But we've been brought back in. It says that we are seated with God, what, with the Lord in heavenly places.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, I think it's so important that we study the Torah and learn some things about the Hebrew alphabet, because that language has been tried to be destroyed, just as like they tried to destroy all the Jewish people. But we need to connect back up with what God says, you know, and God's feast and God's timetable. And as you listened to us before, we here in the United States, we're on a calendar that's by the sun. It's, you know, by people who worship other gods. But the Jewish people, and God set the calendar up, and you can read it in Genesis chapter 1. God set the calendar up on a lunar calendar.
That's right.
The moon reflects the sun. We're to reflect the glory of the Lord. Amen?
So in Exodus 12, there, we talked about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people at that time were on what we'd call a civil calendar, and when they came out, God had something new for them, a picture of the new birth. And so what did he do? He changed the number on the month. Not the month, but or the season, but he changed the number on the month and for a reason. And so what was the Egyptians on? They were on a solar calendar. They worshiped Ra, which is a sun god. Well, then he put Israel on a lunar calendar from that point on in a greater dimension. And so there's a purpose in all of it, to show that we're staying away from the world, and also that we're new creatures in Christ, and we are priests and kings, and he's got us. We're in this world, as Jesus said, but we're not part of it. And
that,
so it's precious to think about that.
That reminds me of the calendar that I do every month. I do a regular calendar like you would buy in a
uh-huh.
store, but I also impose the Jewish calendar on it, so we know that
right.
we are not supposed to be living by the sun. Well, look at all the people who were running to the sun this past week or so ago for the solar eclipse, you know. And of course, God said there would be signs in the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars, which is going to, it shows us these times and seasons and what's happening. So I believe that was a signpost, and because God gives us signposts.
Tells us to look up all the time.
He tells us to look up all the time, and he says things are going to happen.
That's right.
He says in the last days, things are going to happen. Terrible things are going to happen. It'll be like in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
You know, not only the sin that's increased throughout the world and in our United States of America, but the things that happened. You know, I'm not saying God caused these hurricanes. I'm not saying that.
Nope.
But he says in the last days there's going to be earthquakes. Is his word lie? He says there's going to be earthquakes and you know,
tornadoes,
terrible,
flooding.
Terrible things.
Yeah.
So we know a lot of people are suffering right now, and we do need to pray for them and help them out as much as we possibly can. Because many people, if we don't help each other out, we might be the next ones that have to go through something terrible. So we need to help out our brothers and sisters and those that may not even know the Lord, because who knows, many people may be coming to the Lord because of tragedy. A lot of people do come to the Lord because of tragedy, and it's really sad. And I know many of us are just sick, nauseous about watching the TV and seeing all the things that are happening. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that are helping and helping people. So I was thinking here, Pastor Gene, about going over here too. I want to give our telephone number.
Yeah, do that. I will mention one more thing. Go ahead.
Okay. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. Now, they kept me on quite a bit of medication. Not really a lot, but for me, I guess it would be a lot. So I do sound a little bit raspy. I don't have a cold or anything like that, but I guess it's just affecting my speech a little bit, just the raspiness, you know, because I don't usually sound like I have a frog in my throat. What are you going to say, honey?
Gene, we're talking about this calendar thing I was thinking about. You know, we're 7 or 8 days away now from Tishri 1, which will be a new moon, okay? Well, when's the first month on the solar calendar now? It's not going to be till later. 7 or 8 days later is when that shows up. So it shows you there's no relationship whatsoever with that. And we got to stay on God's lunar calendar. And if we did with the whole Word, with the people teaching it all, we wouldn't be so confused about the times we're in right now.
When we would understand the feasts of the Lord,
nope.
We would understand when the year starts, when the year ends. It doesn't start in January and end December 31st, you know? And we would understand that the feasts of the Lord is what God wants us to look at, not the pagan holidays that we have imposed upon ourselves. And also way back when they changed, said when Jesus was born and all the things that we can prove when Jesus was born.
That's right.
We're not going to do that today.
Nope.
You probably heard that before from us, but I'm going to go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And this also talks about, because we've started a 7-year cycle, I believe.
It'll be 2 years this fall, yeah.
But I believe that
this
there
fall.
Are
Soon.
Cycles, Pastor Gene,
yep.
A whole second, cycles that happen because, I'm thinking about the solar eclipse. Because 7 years from now, there'll be another total solar eclipse.
In April of 2024.
Nisan 1, the first day of Nisan, which is the new moon. We have to look at the new moon. And that's our important thing. And if you want my calendar, you can give us a call. We'll send it to you. It has all the new moons and it has the dates, and you'll begin to understand more about it. So as far as that goes, we're starting a 7-year cycle right now from the solar eclipse, if we're going to look at the solar eclipses.
Yeah.
And so because in 7 years from now, on Nisan 1, which is the beginning of the Passover season, and that it's around the Passover season that month, and so it will be, there'll be another total solar eclipse that will totally cross the United States, and which will actually make, it will look like an X on the United States. And it also lines up, which I don't have time to go into right now, it lines up with the number 400. And the number 400 is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called the Tav. And it looks exactly like a cross, an X. And, you know, it means a cross. And, you know, if the Jewish people understood that Jesus, he died on the cross. It says he's the beginning and the ending. Well, the end of his life was on a cross. And that was his total reason for coming to this to earth, that we might have salvation and be brought back to God. So this is going to happen again in 7 years. So to me, that is a period of a 7-year cycle. What's going to happen in these 7 years, I don't know, but
God does,
and we need to look at some of these things, because it says over here, maybe I'll just read it, Pastor Gene, in Genesis chapter, get to it here.
Chapter 1 you're going to?
Chapter 1.
Okay.
Where it talks about put these things in place for signs and wonders. So here it is, 14.
Yeah.
It says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. He was not talking about Christmas.
That's right.
He was not talking about Valentine's Day. He was not talking about Easter. He's talking about his prophetic signs and the feasts of the Lord, which is in this chapter here that we're going to read over here in chapter 15 of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
It says, at the end of every 7 years, thou
First
shalt
one,
make
yes.
a release.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Well, I'm thinking about that right there and what's going on. We need to release some things, some funds and some help to these people that are having such problems.
Out in Texas, yeah.
That's right. We're going to take up an offering. And I feel that there's a lot of ministries out there that we could send money to. But I've contacted, because you don't want to send money where 50% of it's going to go to some other thing.
Administration purposes.
Or half of it. Or, you know, so you need to check on the internet, because it shows you where these, what percentage of money goes where. But I feel that I mean, there's a lot of ministries I trust, but I really feel that the Lord is laying on my heart about James Robinson's ministry. And so I have contacted them and got the address of where to send the check to, because they are giving 100%
of everything that comes
in. What comes in for the relief
for those people.
Of these people.
That's right.
So we want to be wise, and when we sow a seed, we don't want it to fall to the ground, right? We
That's
want
right.
it to be used for the purpose that we are sending it for.
Right.
Sometimes we give things and, you know, it's not used for the purpose.
Yeah.
So if you want to, I have that information as well if anybody wants that information. But I really trust James and Betty Robinson and that ministry and what they do. So I read that chapter. I read verse 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, of the foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. We're to help our brothers and sisters, aren't
that's
right. we?
That's what it says.
Many people that aren't saved could be saved. I mean, look what's going on. It's so sad. It says, save when there shall be no poor among you. Jesus said what? The poor would always be among us, didn't he?
Yeah.
For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully, see, we need to be careful about what we do with our funds and our money. Hearken or listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. You know, the New Testament talks much about giving to the needy and the poor.
Yeah.
And I was thinking too, Pastor Gene, about the widow.
They gave the mite, everything she had, yeah.
Jesus was watching. You say, Jesus is watching our offering? He's watching what we put in the basket?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Jesus was watching her. I mean, she wasn't the only one he was watching. I'm sure he watched the rich people too. But you know what? She gave out of all that she had, didn't she?
Yeah.
Where am I at? Verse 6. It says, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow.
And we're doing that today.
Shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee.
That's right.
Well, you know, I know that James and Betty, they dig wells in Africa and they feed the people there. But there are people in our nation that are like refugees right now.
That's right.
They have nothing. Some of them don't even have clothes on their back,
yep.
do they?
Nope.
If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land, I would say with any of our within the borders of our country, mm-hmm. Pastor Gene.
Yeah.
So we need to look at these scriptures and say, well, what is God saying about today, about us? You know, we're reading history and all, but God is, these are directions that He's given us, and we can go over in the New Testament and see exactly what Jesus said over there about helping the poor. Amen. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, hasn't He given us a good land, America?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not harden thy heart. Don't shut up your heart, nor shut thy hand, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. That's a lot right there. We need to help. We need to be mindful. We need to be helping others. Who knows when we might have a need? But thou shalt open thy hand, verse 8, open your hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Well, you know, lend, it says lend, but you know, we give it. We give. We're to give with a what? A joyful heart, right, Pastor Gene?
Right.
Aren't we to give with a joyful heart?
Mm-hmm.
It says 9, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. See, we're starting in 7 years, as far as I'm concerned. I see with these solar eclipses. And thou shalt givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So if we don't give, what is it?
Sin.
It's sin. We are greedy. We're selfish. We harden our heart.
Yeah.
People harden their heart. You know, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He was greedy. He wanted to keep the children of Israel there to serve him, to work for him, to enslave them. But we're free. When we should be free to give freely, right? Verse 10 says, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works. That's a promise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't give to receive blessings, do we? We give because we have a giving heart.
But there's a blessing that always follows that with us from God, we know.
Right, but the purpose...
If our heart's right.
The purpose is to have an open hand and to have a giving heart.
That's right.
And in all that thou puttest thy hand unto... See, God's hand is open to us, isn't it? That yod is a picture of an open hand. If you saw that yod, it's very small. Smallest Hebrew letter in the alphabet, number 10. And it's a picture. And it looks to me, it looks like an open hand. It kind of looks like a comma, you know, which just a little bit to me is like an open hand. We have to, we're to put forth our hand. Says verse 11. Now this is over also in John chapter 12. We might want to look at that, Pastor Gene, if you want to. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. John 12:8. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. We're talking about the land of America. We have another hurricane sitting out there in the water now called, is it Irma or something like that?
I don't know.
And then I see that there's another one behind that. Well, somebody told me that if this last hurricane had come into Jacksonville, it would have flooded Jacksonville out. You know, my daughter lives in Jacksonville. Our daughter lives there. And there's much, much water around Jacksonville from the ocean. And we don't know where this next one's going to go. We need to pray. We need to pray. It says here, I'm going to read verse 11 again. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in the land, in thy land, in our land. We need to open our hand and our heart wide. Wide, wide, wide. Because the poor is never going to cease. And this is a command. It's not a suggestion. He says, therefore I command thee. That's a command. isn't it?
Yes.
Did you want to read that over there in John 12:8?
No, I will. Go ahead.
And 12 says, "And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the 7th year thou shalt let him go free from thee." So this is talking about somebody who is a servant, and they have served somebody for they're a Hebrew and they have served somebody for 7 years. They should let them go free. They should let them go free. Of course, this doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but I'm just reading this, getting everything in context. "And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty." You don't just say, "Okay, you're free," you know, because they would just let them go free and not give them anything. No. Yeah. What if they had? They would have children, right? They would have wives. You don't send them out empty-handed. We shouldn't send people out empty-handed. "Well, just go find some place that will help you." You know, this is an attitude. But I thank the Lord that there's probably many, many people, even people that have a lot of money. They may not even know the Lord, but they are givers. They give. But, you know, if everyone gives something, even if we don't have a lot to give, it'd be like the woman with the mite. We have given from our heart, and we've had an open hand and an open heart. "Thou shalt furnish him liberally." That means what? I would say abundantly. Wouldn't that be abundantly, Pastor Gene?
Yeah, that's what it would be.
"Out of thy flock." So they're going to give him some of their cattle. You know, Pharaoh didn't want to give the Egyptians, didn't want to give the Hebrew children anything. They wanted to keep their cattle. Mm-hmm. They wanted to keep the Hebrews' property and their cattle. But no, God said for them to take it all, didn't he?
Yeah.
He even took things away from the Egyptians, their gold and their fabrics and many things that they had, because they used those things for the tabernacle in the wilderness. "So thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor." So I guess that floor would be like the threshing floor, would be like the grain. You give them food, water. And it says, "out of thy wine press." You give them of everything, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. You know, it says wine press, and I think about, you know, people who have riches and wine and oil. I mean, they've got everything. They're not in need of anything. So, you know, I don't think God has to say, give them some of everything. When you include the floor, the food, and you add the wine press, I think that counts for everything in between, because if people have somebody who has a wine cellar, they're rich.
Yep.
They got plenty. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying we should have wine cellars. We have the new wine, which is the wine of the Spirit. Amen. And it says that you're going to be blessed if you give unto him. "And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman or a slave," that would be slave, "in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." We've been redeemed by the blood of Yeshua, haven't we? Mm-hmm. "Therefore I command thee this thing today." This is a command to give unto people. "And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thy house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl," that's like they're going to pierce his ear, "and thrust it through his ear into the door, and he shall be thy servant forever." He chooses to be a servant. We choose to be, we're not a slave. Some Bibles say that we're a slave.
Yeah, that we're a bond slave. We're not, we're a bond servant.
We are a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We have chosen to, because he was pierced, we have chosen to pierce our heart, and we have chosen to be vessels for God. I see that that way, that we have chosen to serve the Lord.
Verse 16 reminds me of what Elisha did with Elijah, remember? He didn't want to leave his side.
That's right.
He went with him everywhere he went.
Everywhere he went.
And that verse says, "It shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away with thee, because he loveth thee, and thy house, because he is well with thee."
Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise.
So now, why would they thrust it through his ear?
To make it something permanent.
You know, when I think about, well, you could thrust it through some other part of your body.
Well,
you know,
no matter how you did it. Well, that's a hearing ear.
That's it.
That's right.
Okay, you got it.
It's a hearing
That's the hearing ear. That's where God says Shema, which means hear.
Yeah.
Which means hear. And so that is, to me, you know, he's you purpose to hear. You purpose to choose to follow your master. Well, we have one master, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
One master, and his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen? So I think that's the reason for the ear. And we need to have a hearing ear. How many times in the Bible does it say Shema, or hear, O Israel?
Yeah.
Or how many times in the book of Revelation do you have an ear to hear what the word is saying? We got to have an ear to hear. And so without the piercing of our ear, we're not going to have the sound. We're not going to get the reverberation or the sound from the Holy Ghost. Because God speaks to us, you know, spirit to spirit, spirit to spirit. He doesn't speak. God doesn't speak to our brain. Our brain is just part of our body. You can take your brain out of your body and it's no good. It's just part of your body. God speaks to our mind. And he says that we are to renew the spirit of our mind. That's in the New Testament. And now we're on verse 18. And it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee. For he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. So we're to treat each other, to me, that we're to treat each other with love. No matter who they are.
Yep.
No matter who they are. No matter... They serve them with love, amen? We might as well finish this chapter.
Go ahead, we've got a few more verses here.
And all the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstlings of thy flock, of thy bullock, nor shear the firstlings of thy sheep. 20. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God, year by year, in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. 21. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God.
He wants a perfect sacrifice, does he, for all of us? Yeah?
That's right. Verse 22.
From all of us, I should say.
Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike. Now, I had that underlined from before when I taught on this. You know, God is no respecter of persons.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so when it says here that the clean and the unclean person, we're talking about people. The clean, which would be the Hebrew person that followed the Torah and followed the restrictions and the commandments of the Torah. And also those that were with them. Because, you know, when they came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. They weren't all following the law.
No, they weren't.
Or the Torah. But they saw. And how many people see your life, see my life, and they want to follow, and they want to come away from their pagan religion, and they want to be part, they want to be joined in. So God says, allow them to come and join. Let them join in. They may change. Of course, we know that a lot of them didn't change in the wilderness, and there were a lot of things that happened because they still were in their old ways, and they died. And even the Jewish people, many of them died because of their disobedience. But he says, I think this is very important, that the unclean and the clean person, he mentions the unclean first, doesn't he? Who are we to go to? If we give to somebody who we know is going to give back to us, Bible talks about that too. But if we give to somebody who knows they can't give back to us, you know, you invite somebody to dinner and you expect them, and you expect them, maybe you expect them they're going to have you over for dinner the next week. Well, that's just payback. We're not talking about payback. We're talking about giving something that we have to someone who has nothing. So he mentions the unclean, because God wants all to be, all to be saved. He wants all to come to the cross. He wants all to be joined up to the Lord through Yeshua, through that letter I talked to you about, the first letter of Hebrew alphabet. And the unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike. You don't give them the worst part. You don't give them the scraps, right? Some people throw people the scraps. You don't give them what's in the garbage.
Yeah, they give them what's left over, huh?
You don't give them what's left over.
That's right.
No, you give them the best. It says you eat it alike. If you're going to eat the tenderloin, you give them the tenderloin as the roebuck and as the heart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood. Why? Because the what's in the blood? The life is in the blood. Thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the ground as
water.
So I was thinking about that, Pastor Gene, because of what's going on right now in our country, the devastation that's happened in Texas and Louisiana, and we don't know what's going to happen these next 7 years between this last solar eclipse and the one that's going to be 7 years from now. We don't know. But we need to pray.
Yeah.
We need to repent. We need to return to the Lord. We need to follow His Torah, His teaching, and His instructions. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Did you want to read that scripture over in the New Testament?
Well, just last a short verse where Jesus said, in 12:8, you said, He says, for the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always.
That's right.
John 12:8.
John 12:8.
Here was what was going on was some of the disciples complained about the oil that was put upon that woman that came to see Jesus, and they said it was a waste of time, waste of money to put that on her. They could do something else with it. And this is what it says here. Verse 4 says, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, you know, he's the one that was a crook, you know, and he was a dishonest person. Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment, he said, sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So he's even asking the question, you know. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, hear that, he didn't care, but because he was a thief and had the bag, the money was carried in a bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, or Yeshua, let her alone, against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. And then he goes on, Jesus said, for the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always.
That's right.
In verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So they wanted to come to see a miracle, didn't they?
You know, over in Matthew, it's also in Matthew chapter 26, mm-hmm. and verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you.
That's right.
But me ye have not always. But we do have the poor with us. There are people that are poor that need help. God loves those poor, the people. Jesus loves them. He says, for this woman, verse 12, for in that she hath poured this anointment on my body. That anointment was very expensive. And, you know, they complained about that.
Yeah, they did.
They complained about that. Thought it should have been used for something else.
Or sold it and they have money. They can make gain from it.
Yes, see, we need the mind of Christ. That's why we need to renew the spirit of our mind. Because what may seem foolish to us, or our mind, or our thoughts, they're just our thoughts. They're thoughts of the world, because we think thoughts of the world. We don't think the thoughts of God. Then we're going to have the thoughts of man, and we'll be like these disciples were. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial.
That's right.
See, they didn't understand. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. though there was a purpose. That anointing was for his burial. For his burial. Because I should have backed up maybe a little bit. Because this happened at Passover. And this, see, now we're talking about Passover, and that would be in the month of Nisan. In verse 2, it says, "You know that after 2 days, it is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." This is in Matthew 26. "Then assembly together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas.
Yeah.
And consulted that they might take Jesus by trickery,
mm-hmm,
and kill him. But they said, no, not so on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious anointment." It was expensive. "And poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation." Wow. Would that be like disgust? Seeing this woman coming in there doing the same. "To what purpose is this waste?" See the attitude they had? They had an attitude. "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor."
Yeah. But it was a memorial for Christ's body.
It was for Christ's body.
For his death.
And then we think about the woman.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't tell you who she is, you know, for
no,
sure.
No, but we think about the woman who Jesus was watching.
Yeah, he was.
And that's very important. Jesus was watching her, giving her offering. And he had a very strong word to say about her offering. And that would be a picture of, I would think, her faithfulness to give.
Yeah.
To give of all she had. Amen. Amen. You know, God, Jesus talks about money quite a bit.
Yeah, he does.
And
how to handle it properly.
Mm-hmm. There's even a parable about money.
Some people don't even believe in tithing today. They say, well, it's not in the New Testament, but there's a principle there that's been there all along.
There's a principle, and the principle of tithing
10% of anything
was before the law.
That's right.
It was Abraham.
Yeah.
Gave tithe to Melchizedek, which is the picture,
of Yeshua. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was so tithing was set up before, but I think now that we are past the time of the law of tithing, that we're moving into would be more than giving a tithe. It would be an overflow. You know, people give their tithe, but he says, there's somewhere in the scripture, I'm not sure where it's at, it says that the blessings come with the offering, the givings. That's above the tithe.
Above your tithe, yeah.
That's above the tithe. Do you remember where that's at?
Not offhand, I was looking up.
Yeah, but that's very important to know that.
Fact,
you know?
That's a pattern for us today also.
That we should be giving above and beyond.
That's right.
You know, some people will write their tithe check right down to the last penny, but you know, the blessings really come after. It's abundant. Maybe you give 10%. Well, maybe you give 20%.
That's right.
You know, that would be above. Some people give 50%. That would be way above, you know.
Yeah.
So God sees that, and God blesses us. Not because we give just what's
required, the
required
minimum,
or what we think is the minimum.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't give the minimum. You know,
that's
but
right.
But you know, God sees the heart. That woman only had a small amount to give.
That's right.
She only had a small amount to give.
I think about what the prophet Malachi said over there. You know, he said if they were obedient and obeyed the Lord, he'd pour out a blessing upon them, that they couldn't comprehend it. And what he said, giving of your tithes and your offerings.
And Jesus says over here in chapter 25 of Matthew, we're not going to have time to go very far in that, but just a little bit of it. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country,
mm-hmm,
who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another one, and to another man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he gave these things and left.
Yep.
He didn't think about it. He gave it and left. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So what did he do? He doubled.
He multiplied it, didn't he?
He increased it. He multiplied it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
because he wasn't selfish.
He multiplied it. He was wise. He had wisdom.
Yeah.
He had wisdom. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained another 2. So he also doubled his.
That's right.
So, you know, God's not looking to say, well, you now you've got 10 and you have 4. Yeah. You know, God's looking at the purpose, the...
Mainly the willingness of the heart.
Willingness of the heart. Because you can't end up with 10 if you've only been given 2. But if you double each of them, 1 would be 10, 1 would be 4. So he did the same thing. But he that hath received 1... See, oh, Jesus only gave me 1 talent. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's people. He went, and what did he do? He digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. Wow.
Selfishness.
He hid his master's money.
Yeah.
So we're not to hide it. We're to use it for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Because it says right in the very beginning, he says, the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about finances here on earth. Of course, God uses these finances, but
yeah.
They're for the kingdom of heaven. That's very important. People leave that out.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling. Who's the man traveling?
Jesus.
Jesus is the man traveling. Who's the one who gives us the gifts?
Yeshua
Jesus.
Does. That's right.
And he knows who can handle the 5 talents.
That's right.
He knows who can handle the 2 talents. He knows that you know they're going to be doubled. And he also knows who can only handle the 1 talent and who's going to be selfish and hold it and hide it.
You know, we talk about people putting money in the lottery all the time. You know, a lot of those people don't know the Lord, and they put that money in, and once in a while, one that's you know totally incapable, probably, of understanding what Christ came to do, well, they accept that money with no doubt at all because they never handled money and didn't have the right way what happened. Most of them are destroyed. Ruins their life.
People go broke.
They think money's the answer to everything, and it's not.
People can win the lottery and have maybe $100,000, $200,000, $1 million 1 year and be down in the gutter again.
That's
broke.
Right.
And they don't have any wisdom.
That's
they don't
right.
do what's right. It says, after a long time, Jesus has been gone a long time, hasn't he? 2,000 mm-hmm. years plus. The time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them. He's going to check them out. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more.
Excuse me.
Bless you. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Servant.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.
Hallelujah.
Enter thou into the joy of the
Lord.
It's going to make us ruler over many things. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
That's right.
His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. So he didn't say, he says the same thing.
Yeah.
He said the same thing. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He said the very same thing that he said to the 5. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He didn't know the truth. He didn't have the attitude. He didn't have the right attitude. And I was afraid. Fear. Fear is sin.
Yep.
And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, if he would have doubled that 1 talent, he would have gotten the same blessing that the other 2 got.
That's right.
If he would have doubled it.
We tell people this all the time, don't we? If you give to the Lord to get, you're the wrong. Your attitude's wrong.
26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. What is somebody who's slothful?
Lazy.
lazy. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not. Jesus said, I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strong. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So he would have received interest. Interest. He says, take therefore the talent from him. Take it away from him. He lost it. And give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant, he didn't bring any profit, did he? Unto the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Sounds like hell to me, huh? That's what it is.
So, well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. I pray that you received some revelation, understanding, and that you, God has given you a grateful heart for what we have, and a thankful heart. We may not all have everything we want, but you know, God has taken care of us.
That's right.
And we certainly can stretch out, open our hand wide, and help others that are in need. Well, we're here every Saturday from 12 to 1 o'clock. Called, our radio program's called Raising the Standard. You can go and listen to this broadcast again on WCNO.com. Excuse me. And we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
That's right. So we trust that you will can continue to grow in the things of the Lord and understand the Word of God. And you know, I always thought about what Don was talking about. I thought about what Paul said in First Corinthians, or it was the second one of the two Corinthian books, about giving cheerfully.
A cheerful heart.
Give a cheerful heart, and there'll be a blessing there. If they're not, and you're doing because you feel you have to, well, then there will be no blessing assigned to it at all.
And we know John 10:10 says, "A thief cometh not but to steal,
kill, and destroy.
But Jesus
right.
says, I've come to give you life and give you more abundantly. Abundantly in everything, not just money.
Everything. That's right.
Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Sure. So as we close this program, you heard the title and what we do on it. It's called Raising the Standard. So we hope you'll continue to think about that with your thanks with the Lord. So as we close, we tell you to look up every week, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.